tell me your some blessings that you have today. What do you have? Young people, the rally, working for the Lord there, having a great time. That's a blessing.
We have the blessing of being able to praise our Lord without fear of persecution and death.
Amen. Free to pray and work and share the word. What about this beautiful sun that's shining in the window here? Isn't that wonderful? We have a place to meet. Sometimes it leaks, but it's a wonderful opportunity. I've certainly preached in a lot more difficult situations. Nice pews to sit on. I've sat on some a lot harder. Even have preached in a barn. And still people praise the Lord. We're just thankful for what we got. Isn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. This morning, we're continuing our series. We've been going now for, this is the sixth in a series, and it all comes from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, where he is talking to them about the fact that you can be baptized into Christ and you can have the Lord's Supper and things like that, and those are wonderful things. But, he says, we need to watch out for some things also. And we've had a series of things. We're going to look at those this morning, and this should be the last of the series. And the idea, the thing we're trying to present is how to get out of problems, how to get ahead, how for the church to move ahead, and what holds these things back when we don't. Let's take a look. 40 years in the wilderness. Neither murmur ye. 1 Corinthians 10:1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." And so he's talking to this church at Corinth, and that has a lot of problems. And he's trying to say, you know, look back and see the beginning of back in the fathers and learn something from it. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. As were some of them, as it was written, "Neither the idolaters, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to pray. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell into one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." So Corinth was having some problems, and he is warning them about the reasons they had these problems and what the consequences would be if they did these things. "Neither murmur ye." Let's go back, see what happened. Because he's referring back to the time when they came into the promised land, or were in the wilderness. In Egypt, Moses calls for freedom of his people. And the result is that Pharaoh doesn't want to let him go. So he just puts more pressure on them. He cracks down and says, "Let them go out and gather the straw for themselves instead of having to have it furnished." He says, increase the amount that they're going to have to put out. And so when he pushes down on them, and the people then, what do? They blame Moses. So in Exodus 5:21 it says, "And they said unto them, The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of the of Pharaoh and in the eyes of the servants of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." Well, they were not happy. And so they blamed Moses for this. At the Red Sea, God took them out of the land, forced, had this 10 plagues, and forced Pharaoh to let them go. And they get started on their journey, and they come up to the Red Sea. And Exodus 14:9-15 says, "But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon." And it says in Exodus 14:9-15, it goes on, says, When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us so as to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not this word that we told you in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And so Moses said unto the people, "Then fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today, for the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever." Now Moses' solution was, well, just wait and stand still here and see that God will do something about it. You know, we preachers tend to do that. And we don't know what to do. Well, we just say, well, let's just wait and hope something happens. And the Lord, he says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." The Lord said unto Moses, "Why do you cry unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." You know, sometimes when we're in a tough situation, that's the best answer. Move. Get up and move. Move forward. Don't sit here and cry about it. It isn't going to accomplish much. And so, by taking a positive attitude and moving ahead, you get over those things. Just run over the obstacle if it won't get out of the way. Bitter waters healed. They came, after they left the Red Sea, they came to this waters. In Exodus 15:22-26 says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah," which means bitter. "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and said, And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them." So God was testing them whether they're going to really trust him. And sometimes, you know, that's the way it is. Sometimes when things don't come right away and we don't get what we want, it isn't that God isn't going to provide. A lot of times he's saying, "All right, now are you going to put your trust in me, or are you going to trust yourself and your own devices?" And he said, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, you will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. And I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that heals you." It's a very important promise, because by doing what God said, they would keep out of the dangers of the peoples around them. By doing circumcision, they kept out of a lot of the diseases that came from not being having any kind of protection. Dealing with problems with adultery and things like that, they kept out of the problems of those kind of things and made good homes. And people forget that when they violate the commands of God, they bring upon themselves or create an opening for sin to create diseases or destruction, family destruction, things like that. God's methods work. And so that's what his message is to these people. They were hungry. The manna from heaven, Exodus 16, 1 and through 12. And he took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Notice how they gave intentions to Moses and Aaron that, hey, all you want to do is bring us out here to kill us. Yeah, that wasn't what Moses and Aaron were trying to do. Moses hadn't tried to even get into the job. Remember, he said to God, he said, I can't speak good. I really don't want this job. But God wanted him because he didn't think he was so efficient and powerful, whatever, capable. So here they are now out in the wilderness, and they've forgotten what God has done for them, and they've forgotten all the things that were happening to them back in Egypt. And instead, they are saying, well, wish we were back in Egypt, and you brought us out here to kill us with hunger, starve us to death. You don't care about us. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Notice we've seen this now as we go through this. God is proving them. Are you going to walk after my commandments? God wasn't trying to be mean to them. He was trying to benefit them. And so he says, this is why I'm doing this. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which is to bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, that you shall know that the Lord has brought you out from the land of Egypt. And so we're going to give you what you need, and it's going to prove why I brought you. And in the morning, when you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he hears your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? Now, what they had, when they were murmuring against Moses and Aaron, they were murmuring against God. And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the ninth verse. And Moses spoke unto Aaron, saying unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. And it came to pass that as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. So God provided. And then they wanted water. They're thirsty again. And all the congregation, in Exodus 17, 1 through 7 says, And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandments of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people strove with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why do you criticize me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Why is this that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Again, the false motives, impugned the motives of Aaron and Moses. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They'd be almost ready to stone me. Moses had begun to be upset. He began to become disillusioned with his mission, his responsibility, because it wasn't a happy thing, which it should have been. They should have been moving on to Canaan's land. Probably remember some old songs along that line. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people and take with you of the elders of Israel and your rod with which you smote the river, and take it in your hand and go. Behold, I will stand before you there upon the rock of Horeb, and you shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the striving of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? They came to the promised land. They were ready to go in. God had sent some spies in to spy out the land and bring back the report. Numbers 13, 30 through 33, it says, And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Joshua and Caleb came back and they gave this report. We can take care of it. We can handle it. We can overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. So they magnified the problems and minimized the great opportunities and what God and God's guiding and leading. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So just exaggerated the problems and failed to see the opportunities. In Numbers 14, 1 through 13, it says, And all the congregation lifted up their voice, and they cried, and the people wept at night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would that God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And why has the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? You see, their focus was on something in the past that they thought was good, and they ignored the terrible things that they had experienced. They magnified the problems. They didn't have God, faith in God, so they let that become the most important thing, and they ignored all the great and wonderful things that God had given them as opportunity, and that He was with them. And they said unto one another, let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt. Let's get somebody else. This Moses guy, he's not giving us what we want. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they have bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be that they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make you a greater nation and mightier than they. And you think Moses might go along with that idea, huh? No, Moses cared for them in spite of that. Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them. Numbers 14, 26 and 29. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken to my ears, so will I do to you. And your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old upward, which have murmured against me. And the men which Moses sent to search the land returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up slander upon the land. Even those men that brought up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. You see, God wanted to take them away from their slavery and their suffering and all the difficulties. He wanted to give them something good. And they're complaining because they aren't in the promised land. They don't have it all. But they're not willing to go in. They're not listening. Instead, they're complaining and attacking those who are trying to lead them in. Rebellion against Moses and Aaron. Number 16, 1 through 35. Now Korah, the son of Ishah, the son of Korah, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, and the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Well, they were pretty important people, but they didn't feel they were important enough. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation of God are holy. Who do you think you are? You know, we're all good people, and you have no right to be over us. Every one of them, the Lord is among them. Why then do you lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spoke unto Korah and unto his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show you who are his, and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he has chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take your censers, Korah, and all of his company, and put fire therein, and put incense on them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord does choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi, does it seem but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself and do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and stand before the congregation to minister unto them? He says, God gave you a lot of responsibility. Is that not important to you? And he has brought you near unto him, and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you. And do you seek the priesthood also? They weren't content with what God had given them, the roles that they were to take. And so Moses raises that question to them. God has blessed you. Why then do you insist on demanding that the priesthood too? For which cause both you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. People forget sometimes that they're actually against the Lord when they do things. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. No, you're not telling us what to do. We're not going to come up there. You can't tell us what we have to do. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land that flows with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Again, exaggerated the things that they had in Egypt. And he says, you make yourselves altogether a prince over us. So you're making yourself a king. You're the one that's going to be the big shots. And so they were rebellion there. Moreover, you have not brought us into a land that flows with milk and honey. In other words, you haven't solved all the problems. You haven't given us everything we want. Or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you cut out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Stubborn. Defiant. You're not going to tell us what to do. And Moses was very angry and said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be you and all your company before the Lord, you and they and Aaron, tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put the incense on them. And bring before the Lord every man his censer. 250 censers, you also and Aaron, each of you his censer. Bring it up. We're going to have a showdown. And they took every man his censer and put fire on them, laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. So Korah gathered, brought in the group before the congregation to confront Moses and Aaron. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, oh, God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will you be angry with all of this congregation? Moses and Aaron, even though being accused and attacked, cared about the congregation. What about them? You know, God, don't destroy them because of a few. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So Moses separates the congregation, says, get away from these people. Let them face the wrath of God. So he got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do these works, for I have not done to them of my own mind. I haven't done anything to them. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they are visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open their mouth, and swallow them up with all the apparitions unto them, that it appertains unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder, was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. And they all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. God deals with people who do things like this, and over the years I've seen it happen around the country, different people, when people do these kind of things, bad things happen, because God is still living and he takes care of his people. And all Israel that were around about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth shall swallow us up also. Now you'd think they would have learned something from that, but Lord knows what happened. And there came up fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Numbers 16:41-50 says, but on the morrow, God had just stomped these people who were destroying God's people, and they were keeping them held back in the wilderness. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. Does that sound like human nature? And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get up from among the congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put up the fire therein from off the altar. Put on the incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran to the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses and entered the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Following this, Moses has the men bring out their rods and stand them up in front of their tents. Numbers 17:1-5, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, and all the princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods, write every man's name upon his rod. And you shall write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And you shall lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. Numbers 17:10-13. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. And you shall take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spoke unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever comes anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. We shall be consumed with dying. So, still to the end, they're faithfully grumbling. There's an old song. Kids used to sing it. We had it in our little booklets. And those kids, they liked that so much they sang it every time, on every occasion. They always had to sing this song. And it got so bad that finally we had to limit it and keep them away from it. But it's an interesting little thing, and I'll share it with you this morning. It's called Grumblers. In concrete town or city, some people can be found who spend their time in grumbling at everything around. Oh yes, they always grumble, no matter what we say, for these are chronic grumblers, and they grumble night and day. Oh, they grumble on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, grumble on Thursday too, grumble on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, grumble all week through. Oh, they grumble on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, grumble on Thursday too, grumble on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, grumble the whole week through. How many of you remember hearing that? Yeah, there's quite a few verses of it too. 1 Corinthians 10:11-12. Now remember, I didn't write this stuff. God did. And he said, in the passage where he's sharing this and pointing to these things, this is the conclusion he places on this, on what he said. 1 Corinthians 10:11-12. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That's a warning that was made to the church at Corinth, because they had so many problems. Paul even had to tell him one time, he said, do you want me to come to you with a stick? Paul loved them. He cared about what happened to them. But he's trying to help them to get away from the things that are going to destroy them and hurt the church. So this morning, these are things that we can also learn from. The song that I have for closing is, I decided to follow Jesus.